Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : A Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Geeks Podcast channel. I am your humble host, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by some of the guys back for the first time in a long time. We have resident old man Clark Barnes and, of course, the ginger woodsman, Nick Botiford. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
So good, Pete. I just got some like technical difficulties, so I'm gonna have to sign off. Maybe I don't.
Oh, wait. Nick could be in, could be out.
I do.
Okay. Nick is gone, but he'll be back shortly. Don't worry. He has
what
to go.
What an exciting open to the show.
You can tell it's gonna be a good show when we're less than a minute in and there's already technical difficulty. Clark, how was your Super Bowl Sunday?
It was good. Super low key. Got to watch the game. This is the first game that I've watched this season live and with all of the commercials. And boy, was I right for not bothering to do that all year.
it suck. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there were any standout commercials for the
I'm not even commenting about like the dearth of good Super Bowl commercials. It's just so exhausting to watch two hours of football over a 9 hour span.
Yeah, especially with the Super Bowl where you add in, I always forget how long halftime show is. You know, they always run through like eight different songs and then that takes like 30 minutes and it's always more time than anticipated.
I took a little walk around the property intentionally and I thought like, oh crap, I definitely missed most of the third quarter. Nope, just in time.
Got back just as the weekend was finishing up his set. Delightful. Well, good.
Enjoyed it.
A good game. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was fully aboard the Tom Brady bandwagon, and I have to say, here's my super crushing. I thought it could happen given how well the Buccaneers defense played. I needed Shaq Barrett to get like one more sack and then some sort of turnover. I had money on Shaq Barrett winning Super Bowl MVP. I think his odds were plus 4,400. And I was like, you know what? The narrative is there. And it played out to a certain extent because yes, the Chiefs offense was completely stymied because of the fact that their offensive line was wildly banged up. And thus,
so their offensive line was banged up, but the Bucs defense has been legit for 2 years.
Oh yeah. Oh, and the Bucs defense got hot at the right exact time. And they,
so it couldn't really have been a worse matchup for the Chiefs. And then they lost their best player. So it was a little from column A, a little from column B. I just don't want to take away from the Bucs defense who that offense or that defensive line is legit. And they are super fast behind it.
Yes. Also, shout out to Vita Vea for destroying his ankle and then somehow coming back in the same season and being a difference maker.
So he got juked really hard on one play and I was a little tipsy. I was like, oh, you just pray that doesn't happen as a fat person for like your entire life in sports. And like, it was so bad. I don't know if you remember the play, but that just really struck out to me. Like as a chubby guy, you just never want to see that happen.
Never want to see it happen. But he was moving. Oh, here. And Nick is back. We will see.
But yeah, I mean, like if the Bucs win and Tom Brady doesn't leave halfway through the first quarter, you know he's winning.
Oh yeah,
Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan either. I've never been. It seems kind of I don't know. But obviously cemented his place as like no. Anyone who thought differently, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no argument.
Yeah.
Nick, in exactly 14 words, describe your Super Bowl Sunday.
Fairly calm. Pork and turkey sliders. Brady MVP.
I made MV and P all separate words. I saw that. delightful. Ooh, those sliders sound good.
They were.
Did you make them yourself or were they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. You dear listeners can't see this obviously because this is a audio medium, but we'll tweet this out. Nick is looking especially woodsman-y. He you know what you're doing? You're exuding some Crocodile Dundee vibes and it works. It works for you.
I've got a blade around here somewhere.
Well, there you go. It's not a knife. Or that was my horrible Aussie impression.
Keep doing that.
and we're going to do the rest of that. No. All right, we have a lot to get to. We're going to continue our best free agency landing spots this week with the wide receivers. But before we do, let's tackle the news. And talking about Super Bowls, it seems there might be a Super Bowl winning quarterback coming home. That is right. I, of course, speak of Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, who did what Patrick Mahomes couldn't and outdueled Tom Brady on the biggest stage. It seems like he is on his way back to Philly as the Eagles and Bears have a deal in place. Nothing is firm as of this moment, but these are rumors that have been percolating for Nick Foles to return to Philly along with a first round pick and Tariq Cohen for backup quarterback Carson Wentz. Clark, your thought on this potential trade?
So Nick Foles on a first for Carson Wentz,
along with Tariq Cohen, which seems an odd addition.
So Nick Foles in a first,
exactly,
for Carson Wentz.
Really, it's a first round pick for Carson Wentz.
Man, Chicago just can't get out of its own way.
What do you do in Chicago?
I mean,
there's so many clear and obvious quarterbacks out there. That are we really trying to reclimate Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz's value is really tough to gauge. I think that you look to do like a second and a third, maybe, or like a second and a player. But at first, you're putting a whole lot of hope into a 16 game span that was, what, 2 years ago? That's tough.
So the Tariq Cohen part is really fucking weird. I mean, so he's off an ACL tear. Boston Scott is a free agent this year, I believe. So I can see that as being the reason that they feel like they need another primary pass catching back to join the backfield.
Miles Sanders can't catch the football, right? Obviously, clearly.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, that's what they've been doing the last.
No, like, I know. 2 years I'm not. This is just like, what are we doing? Eagles, Miles Sanders, right? Can do both. Let him do
right.
Both.
It is weird to me that they opt for. Like, it makes more sense, I guess, that they would want. Oh fuck it, I don't know. I was going to say Jordan Howard, like
that should be the complete conclusion of this trade is that no one knows. Like, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I intentionally feel like Tariq Cohen is not worth it. Has to be just salary, right? Like,
yeah, I think it is just filler in order to take on.
He was re-signed a couple weeks before his ACL tear. And I think it was like pretty expensive for a backup running back.
This is like in the NBA when there's like two people you've never heard of. And then you see the math and you're like, oh, that's why they were.
Okay. Right. That's why the deal was included. So I guess the Bears are thinking that Carson Wentz is their pick, their quarterback of the future, maybe the reclamation project.
I mean, it's an upgrade.
Sure.
When I think they just promoted John DeFilippo to their passing game coordinator, and he was, I think, the quarterback's coach. In the Super Bowl season. So it was Peterson was head coach, Frank Reich was OC, and then I think DeFilippo, he was
somehow involved.
Specialist / passing game guy. He was involved with Wentz, so it makes sense why they're doing that.
Sure.
But yeah, then you have to, you know, Ryan Pace can't construct a roster, and Matt Nagy so far doesn't look like he's a good coach.
Well, one could make the argument to win so many games with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky shows that he's fairly talented.
Or the Coach of the Year trophy that he has on his mantle. I mean, that also tends to prove that you're a decent coach.
That's like winning an Oscar, though. Like that. Once Halle Berry got hers for existing, then that kind of ruined it for everyone else.
Clark, low-key shade, always. The Halle Berry low-key shade from Clark. You have to be a regular listener to know that strain of thought.
Have I done that before? To Halle Berry specifically?
I think you've had some Halle Berry shade in earlier shows.
Somehow, as a Southerner, there's nothing I love more than a backhanded compliment. So I'm sure I've done it to someone.
Moving on in the news, Dak Prescott is expected to get the franchise tag if a long-term deal isn't found, which is just incredible given
the
fact that the franchise tag would cost the Cowboys $37 million after they just paid him $31 million. I'm glad Jerry Jones didn't sign him to a long-term deal because, you know, got to save that money, Jerry. Got to save that money.
And I heard Andrew Brandt talking about this a couple of years ago on the Ross Tucker podcast. So, like, all of your contract negotiations now start with $37 million in year one. So if you're like, we're going to give you $75 million, that's not, then that's, you've made that nothing And so that just makes it so complicated to get this deal done now, because anything other than 37 plus in year one is a non-starter for Dak Prescott and his camp. So I love to watch the Cowboys do this. This is just great.
It's just purely idiotic. It's something where it's a roster construction strategy that I just don't even comprehend what your thought is. Even if you think that Dak is like a top 15 quarterback, you still think quarterbacks is such a hard position to find. You just have to pay. You have to pay the guy. You have to keep him on your roster. And the fact that he's a top, at the beginning of this year, he was what, like a top five quarterback, you could say, before he got injured. And now you're going to be paying him the franchise tag. Then you're going to have to work out a deal. And like Clark said, that deal is going to start baseline like $37 million per year. That's now what you got to sign on the dotted line that Jerry's going to do. I wonder if there's any kind of potential for a franchise tag and trade, Nick. Do you think that that's on the board for the Cowboys as an attempt to try to like, not have to make the long-term commitment to Dak?
Yeah, sure. I think that could be on the board. I don't know why. The fact that they aren't just signing him leaves every possibility open as to like them not actually committing to him, which is fucking bonkers. Whether or not he was going to be a top five quarterback this year, he was going to lead. He was going to produce like a top five quarterback this year, and he was going to produce a top five offense. Can you guys come up with a way where they're going to get someone who is as good as Dak Prescott by any like feasible means? I can't think of a scenario.
Well, there's always like the 5% chance you get it in the draft. And I agree with you that you do have to pay him and fall victim to this, or at least I fall victim to this, is thinking that we are really good at predicting things. After seeing something really good happen, we just assume that it's going to continue to happen. And we see this with quarterbacks, and we're seeing this offseason with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, how that looks when that goes wrong. Actually, I mean, more Carson Wentz than Jared Goff, who we all kind of laughed when he got his deal. But both of those teams got out from under that contract, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a death knell to do it. But it is a death knell to not do it, because now you have to. How much is Patrick Mahomes making this year? It's not $37 million, is it?
No, like that's the thing that like blows my mind in terms of how Jerry Jones seemingly has approached this. Is that he feels like somehow that by paying Dak, he has put himself into this corner that he doesn't want to be in. So he's trying to like kick the can as far down the road as possible, thinking that maybe if he gives, like if he, the worst comes to worst, you give Dak a monster deal that's fully guaranteed and he is a below average quarterback. It's like, oh darn, now that contract is on our books. But like you said, Clark, quarterback is a position that every team constantly needs at. And so even if you even if he's a Jared Goff, where he's got this massive, or a Carson Wentz, who's coming off of one of the worst statistical seasons in NFL history at the position, getting paid a shit ton of money, and still there's a trade market for him because every fucking team needs a quarterback. And so the not paying Dak is just, there is no conceivable reason for it. And I share the podcast sentiment where it's like, it is beautiful to watch this all just come collapsing down in Jerry's face.
Nick, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said he would have produced like a top five quarterback. And to me, that hits right on the head of, I don't think Dak is fantastic. I think if we did a list, he would end up like 10th or 11th. And when you're that, you get paid. You should. I mean, it's just like you said, Pete, there's 16 guys that almost everyone else in the league would like to have on their team, and those guys get paid.
Yeah, so. No, I agree with that. I think off the top of my head, I have no issue saying, 10 or 11 in the league. But yeah, probably.
Which is a huge compliment, by the way.
Which is a quarterback like, you pay a lot of money for.
Yeah.
And the I think the agonizing thing that maybe we're all most upset about is the way that they've allowed Kellen Moore. And like they've actually set up a system that would be really good for a high volume passing attack. It's, you know, it's not a great player in a bad system. It's like, this is a great player in a great system with other great players too. And it's all the more maddening that, that we may not get to see. I mean, if they franchise him, okay, but
it's
is it just an ego? Yeah. I don't know.
It's so dumb. At least they paid Ezekiel Elliott a ton of money. Because when you can lock down number one running back, you do that. All right, let's move on in the news. Chris Godwin is expected to stick with the Bucs. And this is, we're going to use this as a nice transition to talk about free agent wide receivers. According to Rap Sheet, the Bucs are expected to bring back Chris Godwin this offseason. Still, we'll see if this actually happens. But if it does, do you like that, Nick, for Godwin's fantasy value in 2021? Because we didn't see a whole, what we expected out of him, certainly, in his first year with Brady.
Well, how many other guys do they have here? I'm just looking at
under contract. Right, I know Mike Evans, Antonio Brown is a free agent. They're thinking of, they're trying to going to bring back Gronk, I think, is a free agent. Cameron Brate still on there. I think Cameron Brate has one more year.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It is only Brown and Godwin. I'd prefer this rather than finding out what the open market has. He could end up somewhere a lot less fortunate than to be a part of the Bucs offense.
Yeah, I agree. The Bucs turned it on late in the year, and they play an offense that can look really bad when things don't work, because it's dink, 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 and then take huge shots. And when those huge shots don't pay off, it looks really bad. And we saw that a couple of times this year. But in their playoff run, we also saw what it looks like when it's good. So I think it's good for Godwin. I don't think it's good for Godwin in the, like, we were so excited he was going in the first round in startups, but he's very good. And Evans and Godwin with anyone else out on the field makes for a fantastic receiver core.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see what he could do as like the wide receiver one, but I think you guys both touched on it. It's a still, you know what you're getting with him there. And the two things I think of too, is that you could see, he could be a Juju Smith-Schuster-ish player where he's actually really kind of more of a souped up wide receiver two rather than a wide receiver one. And we'll talk about Juju later. And also, you know, a full offseason with Brady, that's not, you know, limited. Like, who knows what he could do in 2021. So, yeah, I think on first glance for me, I was like, I kind of want to see Godwin hit, like, land on a team where he would be the number one guy in an offense. But I think you guys are both make good points and are both right that ultimately staying on the Bucs, he's a known commodity there. And I think you can draft him with confidence at wherever he's probably going to go. He might have a little bit of an, he actually might have a little suppressed value given kind of how his season went, and he might be outperforming that, which I like to see that. All right, well, let's segue straight into then our ideal landing spots for wide receivers. Chris Godwin off the table. We're going to assume he's going back to the Bucs since that's what the news is. But there are plenty of other wide receivers to talk about. Last week, we talked about ideal running back spots. So many free agent receivers out there who all could be sexy fantasy names if they go to the right team. We're only, and I say only lightly, going to talk about seven players. So not all of them, but there are a lot out there. We're going to start with the biggest free agent wide receiver, in my opinion, and that is the man, the myth, the legend, Allen Robinson. Nick, what is your ideal fantasy landing spot for Allen Robinson this offseason?
So this is probably the receiver that I feel most strongly about as far as landing spot goes. It's Baltimore. They desperately need an X receiver, and he's a guy who lines up all over the formation too. And I, like, believe it or not, Willie Snead got, he was on a 2-year deal. For $11 million, they paid Dez $1 million this year. They're, I think, number 12 in cap space for 2021. So, you know, they'll have to draft and develop a guy who can manage the slot as well. And Robinson ran plenty of routes out of the slot over the last couple of years in Chicago. So I think you get him as an X receiver. He can do everything, though. I honestly think he might be the best wide receiver in the NFL. We just haven't seen him with any halfway decent kind of quarterbacking for his entire career. But yeah, it's Baltimore. I don't even really want to, like, consider other places. I think this is just the perfect place for
him. We won't allow like that kind of juju to be put out into the world. In a perfect world for me, I've been harping long and hard on Allen Robinson going to the Patriots, but fantasy wise, it makes zero sense since who knows who the Pats quarterback will be. So instead, I 100% like Baltimore makes more sense than anything in the world. He would be instantly Lamar's favorite target. And fantasy wise, like, he's the number one guy. Mark Andrews becomes the number two in terms of targets. But for me, it also, I think it really helps Marquise Brown because he becomes this now what he is, which is a deep bomb home run guy that defenses have to worry about, but they also have to shade coverage to Allen Robinson. Marquise Brown probably gets a lot more one-on-ones. It's not like the weight of the passing game is on Marquise Brown's shoulders, which I think is great for him, because the guy's, you know what, he's going into his second year now, or third year. Like, give him one of the best receivers to run alongside, and I think you're going to see both those guys absolutely eat in this offense.
So to play devil's advocate here, as someone who
can't go perfect 3 for 3,
Lamar Jackson, I believe in Lamar Jackson, and one of my flaws as a fantasy player and fantasy analyst is once I believe something, I stick with it for a long, long, long time. Like Josh Allen not being a very good quarterback, I stuck with that much to my demise in fantasy circles this season. But I believe Lamar Jackson is an actual good quarterback, and what we saw this year was the anomaly of his career instead of what we've seen from it basically every other year. Then, having said that, he was awful as a real quarterback this year. He cannot do timing routes or precision passing. That's just not what he does. His deep ball has been beautiful for forever, and Allen Robinson is, as you said, Nick, like potentially the best receiver in the league. Like, I wouldn't argue really hard against that. He's certainly top five. I think for free agency wide receivers, there's a clear number one, and then a huge tier break, and then a clear number two. And then there's like six or seven guys that are interesting. And Allen Robinson's absolutely number one. I would like to see him go somewhere where there is a legit good quarterback. And just thinking about this quickly, there's still so many things going on. It's really hard to project these things out, but like, wouldn't it be great to have him go to Cincinnati and have Joe Burrow come back and have somebody that could actually play? Yeah. Like, that would be really cool. And then like, what if San Francisco gets someone not named Jimmy Garoppolo to be their quarterback? Wouldn't he be awesome in the Andre Johnson role in that Shanahan offense? I'd be so excited to see where he goes, because he's so good and he's clearly the belle of the ball in this offseason. Yeah.
My favorite thing about doing this series is that basically the right answer for everyone is San Francisco 49ers. Put anyone in that offense and they instantly just come hugely fantasy viable. But I love the Bengals call, because I think the Bengals, while T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd have shown certainly the potential to be, you know, able to carry an offense, putting a guy like Allen Robinson along with those, like, that just... You're right, Clark, that having that would be such a great weapon for Joe Burrow to be able to throw the ball to. And it would put, you know, Tyler Boyd into the slot. And I think all those guys would still be able to get plenty of fantasy production for you. So I think that's a really good call.
I had to fight really hard saying Houston, because he's the kind of player who everyone wants him to go to their team.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. It's true. And well, the Texans have a great quarterback in Deshaun. Oh, are they going to trade him?
We don't want to talk about it.
Sorry, Clark, you've missed so many shows that I have to exude some of this. I have to be,
I really like,
what's this show?
Half of the guys on this show, well, I guess three of the guys on the show care about their team, but two of them are like seriously in doubt as to whether or not their quarterback will say, I mean, I know Jordan says he has like no fear over whether or not it's going to happen, but like, we could stoke that fear. And
oh yeah. Oh,
same
yeah.
With Clark.
Aaron Rodgers is gone. Deshaun. I hope you're okay with that. Aaron Rodgers getting traded for a third round pick to the Patriots. It's going to be incredible.
God, in a world where you get a like 20 to 30 quarterback and first round pick for Carson Wentz, what do you get for Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson?
I mean, Deshaun, it has to be like three first round picks at the bare minimum. I just don't think
that. I mean, if you're Bill O'Brien, it's like a punter and a bag of crackers and like a third round pick.
And dude, David Johnson again, baby. Let's do this.
No, honestly, like fire Miles Somehow Gaskin. David Johnson
gets back into the trade.
Gaskin and Matt Breida. And dude, the
Clark doesn't think Watson's, this is funny.
If Watson's gonna go anywhere, I think it has to be Miami. It's too perfect with the picks that they had, like, because they can just send Houston's first and second round picks back to him.
But he won't. But he won't, though.
You don't think so?
You have a contract, so you can go, I'm sorry you're mad at me right now, but you're playing for us.
Yeah, that's going to be the really interesting thing. Like, I don't remember who I was talking to about this on Twitter, but there's some exchange about like, if you're Houston, reasonably speaking, how long do you wait? Mm. Like, do you go through 2021 with him holding out and just like, do you give up a year? It's probably worth it.
I mean, yeah.
And this is by no way me siding with ownership. It's just like saying the government's going to extort about 25 to 30% of your salary from you. And we can talk about whether that's fair or not, but it's going to happen.
I would love to. I think
politics podcast coming later this week. Stay tuned. Why the Texans haven't fired Jack Easterby yet is beyond me. Those videos. If you haven't seen those videos, go find
Holy shit,
Jack Easterby talking about Jesus crip walking on water.
It is stand up, like, and then you do like, you know, there's a guy from Philly and he's talking about cheesesteak. Who is this guy?
It's so bad. It's so bad. All right, let's get back to wide receivers. Number two, let's talk about Juju Smith-Schuster, who we were all had, you know, broke out huge fantasy star with the Steelers, with Antonio Brown running alongside him. That wasn't the case, obviously, since AB has left. Clark, what's your perfect landing spot for Juju?
Juju goes to Green Bay, and they become already one of the most potent offenses and become...
I'm batting 100 here. Yeah. Yes. 100. I think it makes so much sense to me. He playing with Rodgers next to Devontae Adams. He goes back into that kind of like souped up wide receiver two role, gives them a slot presence who can play inside, outside. I completely agree with you, Clark. It seems like a no-brainer in both real life and fantasy. I had him down. Ah, my God. I don't even need to be on this show. You guys have all my picks. I love it.
So let me, I'm just going to rapid fire. I got three and I'll do them really fast. Jacksonville Jaguars. They got a new infrastructure coming in with Urban Meyer. D.D. Westbrook is a free agent. Keelan Cole filled in last year in the slot, and he is not very good. Philadelphia, Greg Ward is a free agent. I don't know if he showed enough to stay. Then they're addicted to Alshon Jeffrey, too. Who knows what's going on there?
Someone explain that one to me.
Right, yeah. Third one is Atlanta. Russell Gage is like, you know, he's just another guy, kind of slot receiver. But you put him in with, you know, he struggled when he was the main guy. He was very good when he was the number two. If he's the number three, I would be really excited to see what that would look like. And I love offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. So I think that would be fun as well.
Plus, I feel like that's the Falcons. You could do that as kind of a way to manage Julio's playing time to try to kind of keep those hamstrings alive and well for an extended period of time, is that maybe now Julio doesn't have to be a whatever 80% of the snaps or 90% of the snaps. You can interchange him with Juju a little bit more. I like those. I like all three of those.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a personal vendetta against Juju Smith-Schuster, so I'd never send him somewhere like Jacksonville. But other than that, I like those takes.
All right, we got a bunch more wide receivers to still talk about, but before we get to them, let's take a quick ad break. All right, number three wide receiver we're going to talk about is a guy who I was really excited. I thought could be a low key. If the Patriots didn't get Allen Robinson, I thought Kenny Golladay could be a prime target for the Patriots. And then Matt Stafford was like, hell no, I don't want to play with Matt Patricia. And I can only assume everyone on the Lions equally thinks that. So I'm throwing that out the window. Instead, I like Kenny Golladay to the Jaguars. He gets to play with Trevor Lawrence, but also helps DJ Chark's value, in my opinion, opening up that offense, putting Chark likely, like what we said about Allen Robinson and Marquise Brown. Now DJ Chark is that Marquise Brown home run hitter, likely gets to see one more one-on-one scenarios. And also, I feel like we've seen DJ Chark be a legit number one wide receiver before, which also could help take the pressure off of Kenny Golladay to be that guy as well. And maybe help his body fully heal from what's been a pretty banged up 2020 season. So the two of them, I think, vying for, you know, 1A, 1B in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence would be pretty nice from a fantasy standpoint. What say you, Clark? I know you love the Jaguars.
Well, the only thing that's been able to stop Kenny Golladay is Kenny Golladay, unfortunately. So I missed this on the list. I didn't know that he was going to be a free agent, but he's a real number one. So maybe send him to Miami, who's a team on the come and is lacking that big number one wide receiver.
Wow. And you know that Clark, like if Clark is saying that as Devontae Parker stan himself, then he thinks that Miami needs another wide receiver.
I think that ship has sailed.
I think you are sadly correct. I like the Dolphins too. I mean, I think they need to, unless they're going to sell the house for Deshaun Watson, if you're going to stick with Tua, you need to get another big playmaker there. And I think Kenny Golladay would certainly fit that mold really well. Nick, what about you?
The ones that I had don't excite me. So I'll support Clark's message of Miami. I think that even if Parker is capable of being a stud wide receiver, you kind of can't have too many. And Preston Williams is coming off an ACL tear. And I'm, you know, Jakeem Grant is not.
We've also been waiting for Preston Williams to like be healthy and do his thing for now 2 years. So like, yeah, so go get another receiver.
Yeah. That sounds good. Miami.
I like that. I like that call. A wide receiver who the Titans didn't pick up his option, and then he completely balled out and made the Titans wildly regret it. Corey Davis is a free agent. Nick, what do you think for an ideal fantasy landing spot for him?
So in a fantasy world that doesn't exist, where the Seahawks have a good offensive coordinator, I think he'd be a great addition to Seattle. I think Tyler Lockett, like kind of Davis and Lockett operating as like, you know, number 2A and 2B kind of a thing would be really awesome. But the answer that I'm actually going with is Cincinnati. I think they've got a decently deep core there. And I of course no longer have their roster up, but with AJ Green gone, it's, you know, T Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and they haven't shown enough commitment to Auden Tate, who I did think was going to have a decent role at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, what's so weird about him is he and T Higgins have like the exact same physical profile. It's mm-hmm. very weird. I think Higgins might be a little bit faster, but, neither one of their vertical is like jumping like a tight end, like it's 31 and a half inches, which the only other guy I'm aware of is Ridley, who has that, but his shuttle drills and his 10 yard split are just like blazing fat. Anyway. I think he would go really well in Cincinnati. It's a deep receiving core. I don't think that he is like a real number one guy. I think he can kind of play that for you. If you have like Tyler Boyd's a terrific slot receiver. Right. I think he'd be good in that receiving core.
Yeah. I think that's a great, I completely neglected to even consider the Bengals as a landing spot for any of my guys. And now I am regretting it because that's a good landing spot. That's a team that could use some bolstering at the wide receiver position. Clark, what are your thoughts?
Since we're a fantasy show, I will put this in fantasy terms. Where these guys go will make zero difference to me. And I will just need to pay attention to not get excited if I think they go somewhere awesome, or not get excited for the quarterback that gets the people that we're not going to talk about. Not that they're just garbage players or anything, but there's going to be a lot of time in the offseason to get hyped about these folks that are just, from here on out, they are very much free agents for a reason.
And that's Clark's final words on Corey down the rest of the show. These guys aren't worth my time.
Yeah. Corey Davis. Get out of here.
Get out of here. On the Dunzo list. Oh. I like Corey Davis going to Washington football team. They need a number two guy to play alongside Terry McLaurin. And I think we saw Corey Davis, just like what you said, Nick. Corey Davis is probably not reliably week in, week out, legit number one receiver. But when AJ Brown was struggling or was injured or whatever, he rose to that occasion in Tennessee, but also was a great complement to AJ Brown. And I think Corey Davis would be a great running mate with Scary Terry, and that offense needs, I mean, they desperately need pass catchers. So he would be stepping into a huge workload from a fantasy standpoint, which you would love to see with, I guess Alex Smith is still going to be their quarterback, comeback player of the year. Except for the one asshole who decided that Ben Roethlisberger deserved the vote for that.
Was it, who was the quarterback for the, I knew we were heading into the off season when I saw it's like Ryan Kelly slated to be ready for camp. I was like, oh, here it comes. Like,
yes. Ryan Kelly. Ryan Kelly's about to lead whatever team to greatness.
Right. It's like, oh God. Okay. Turn off those Roto World notifications. We're good.
Wait, are we talking about Chad Kelly?
No, whoever the guy that Washington traded for.
Oh, Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. There you go. Oh, okay, sorry,
yeah. Ryan Kelly's the name. Yeah. The center in Indy who had all that hype, but then he got hurt.
No, even less interesting. than that. It's the quarterback.
The backup quarterback.
Ugh. I guess Chad Kelly. That could be fun.
Chad Kelly was the guy who like drunkenly stumbled into some rando's house, right?
He goes hard no matter what he does.
That's right.
For Washington, I was thinking Galladay, but I didn't want him to impede Terry McLaurin. So
right.
That's why I scrap.
I thought Galladay there too, but yeah, that's, and Corey Davis to me was like the perfect, he's not going to come in there thinking he's a wide receiver one, but he'll be the perfect complement to Scary Terry. Yeah. All right, Clark, why don't you take the lead on this second player? Cause I know you love him. Will Fuller is a free agent. Where would you like to see your boy Will Fuller end up?
So to fill a need for a team, I think that may fly under the radar, that could be good because they've thrown the yoke of their previous oppressors off. It might be interesting to see Fuller go to the Jets to play opposite their kind of not very fast but efficient receiving core. And I think Sam Darnold is good. We've seen what happens to quarterbacks when they play for Adam Gase. Like Ryan Tannehill is good now. Peyton Manning managed to
be in
charge, I guess.
He's average.
Yeah, I mean, Will Fuller's coming off a PED extent suspension and is decent, but I don't think he's a pure number one. But I think he could be a deep threat for a team with a good quarterback. So let's say the Jets.
So my favorite spots for him are Indianapolis and Tennessee. I think with Corey Davis leaving Tennessee, they need another downfield guy. He can fill that role. He also won't have to play like a ton because they're going to run so much. And then, you know, Colts, they're losing T.Y. Hilton. Fuller is a significant upgrade.
This is Nick. Literally, Nick is just putting the middle finger to Clark, being like, Will Fuller's best landing spots are in the AFC South so that Clark has to see him play against the Texans.
It's so exciting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
He'll turn it around if that's where he goes, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'll match receiver five. Will Fuller, everybody.
But the problem, is he too fast for his hamstrings? Like, can he play without taking performance enhancing drugs? And if so, or if he can't, then why is this drug that keeps your tendons healthy illegal? Like,
right.
Let him inject that thing into his hamstrings.
Like, if a drug is illegal, it's for very good reason and we shouldn't question it. America.
Good point. Yep.
We're all moving to Oregon. But yeah, I mean, like, why? Yeah, I know. If this is not testosterone, if this is not...
This week's politics podcast is going to be lit, you guys.
I think no. So Clark and I should do our own politics podcast, and Pete and Jordan can do their own.
Perfect.
You guys are much more aligned.
Well, Jordan, my politics podcast is just going to be movies. We're just going to... It's going to be like, hey, what do you think about this? Okay, cool. And then we're going to talk TV shows and movies.
Clark and I think, are like split down the middle, like aggressively 50% in agreement politically, and then aggressively 50% not in agreement.
It would be a great podcast.
I
The people want it. The people have been asking for it. Maybe in the off season, we'll let them get what they want. I, without even thinking about this.
Oh, that's how I like, get ready for the pod in the off season too.
Without even thinking. I was just like, oh, you know where Will Fuller would be really good? I feel like he would be a perfect compliment. I feel like he'd be a perfect compliment to DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like they'd play really well together. And then I was like, oh, yeah, of course, because they do play really well together because they played most of their career together.
I would love that so much.
It still stands. They would be great. He would be great in Arizona. Kyler Murray throws one of the best and most accurate deep balls in the NFL. They need a reliable number two receiver. Who plays better with Hopkins than the guy who's played most of his career with Hopkins? So with that, I was like, man, this is a really good landing spot, Pete. And then I was like, oh shit. They have played most of their career together. So anyways, I'm all for the Cardinals.
The one that might happen is Green Bay, but yeah. I think it depends on what they think of MVS, who I would not want Marquez Valdes-Scantling anywhere near a football field if I'm the coach. Because
Rodgers seems to love him.
He'll just donut hole it like I'm open, or he'll make an incredible play. But I suppose if you bring in Fuller's hamstrings and MVS is just general like extreme up and down.
Packers are asking for it.
Maybe
Rodgers is getting Rodgers is out of there. That's how you get Rodgers to ditch.
Deshaun Watson might hold out if Will Fuller signs with the Cardinals.
Oh my
God. That would be fun to see.
I
would just fully commit to the Seahawks.
So I think I don't do that. I think it was the PFF guys who were talking, like they were discussing Arizona as a potential landing spot for Watson. And like, would you take Watson over Kyler Murray? Absolutely. Would you give up like a first and Kyler Murray for Watson or more than that? I mean, I would
do that, but that'd be it.
Interesting.
That'd be it.
Yeah. I feel like that's a square deal for both.
Yeah.
Teams.
Yeah. Yeah. You give a first and Kyler Murray and then Deshaun Watson. That would be.
Cause Murray's on the rookie contract, which helps a lot as well. Yeah.
Does Cliff Kingsbury then need to be a part of the trade?
What's that?
Does Cliff Kingsbury need to be a part of the trade? Is Kyler only going to play if Cliff Kingsbury's his coach?
That's a good question. I don't know. But anyway,
important things to talk about.
That could be a lot of fun. That would be pretty. Would you, Clark, as a Texan, would you accept Kyler in a first?
I mean, I would not be happy about that as a fan. Okay. As an unfeeling automaton, it seems fair.
As a dead emotional. So
if you were me, then you were like, yeah, no, that, I get that. Yeah.
As someone who doesn't enjoy fun, yeah, we get it. All right, finally, is there a landing spot? We're going to talk about two elder statesmen of the wide receiver position who are both free agents. Is there a landing spot for either AJ Green or T.Y. Hilton that gets you all hot and bothered and excited about their 2021 fantasy potential?
No.
I would like to take a different approach. I'm more excited about T.Y. Hilton, and I feel like a top 20 season means you started him five or six times with confidence. And that's, I feel like, quite possible with T.Y. Hilton. Whereas I would be very, very surprised if AJ Green went on a run where for 4 or 5 weeks we were like, yep, ranked top 12 for the week. We're excited about starting him.
Because we saw it from Hilton last year. I mean, Hilton had that like 2 or 3 week stretch where he was a wide receiver one. When he was kind of like healthy and finally things were clicking. So
Hilton just forgot how to catch, which I feel like can come back to him. AJ Green looks like the injuries have caught up to him.
So yeah. What I wonder about AJ Green is if he can just do not to the same extent, but he clearly doesn't want to be in Cincinnati. He did not want to play like the infamous clip of him, like where he just stops running when the ball is turned over. Like, is he Randy Moss in Oakland? Is it just that like, he's so fucking unhappy that he's just every play he went, all right, I'll do this to end my contract, but I do not want to fucking be here. And again, he's not going to go.
What team is better at taking those players and making them do something than the New England Patriots?
Than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I mean, I don't know. He as a player intrigues me far more than T.Y. Hilton, because I just wonder if he can put together like two, I don't know why I'm thinking of him so much, but like Brandon Lloyd, like he just does like 2 or 3 years where he's very productive.
In New England.
In New England, yeah. Sorry, I know a person just showed up. but anyway, I don't. He's the most intriguing. Anyway, I'm gonna shut up. But
Nick thinks he's the most intriguing free agent in this class. Is basically what Nick's point was, and he nailed it. That is.
We cover all the bases here, folks. I think T.Y. Hilton for sure the best person to eke out value, and Nick disagrees. There we go.
Everyone and Nick thinks AJ Green is a you should draft him 101.
Is regardless
of where he goes. Is Randy Moss. Right. Exactly. AJ Green is Randy Moss. There it is. Wow.
I do love it when teams try to screw players and players give up, though. I do like that.
Yeah.
Me too. Especially when it's obvious. It'd be like he'd be setting a precedent. He'd be a role model for people to revolt against
for
their
generations
fucking contracts. Yeah.
Remember how well that polishing your chains.
Remember how Le'Veon Bell was like, that's what I'm gonna be, and then it worked really well for Le'Veon Bell.
Running back.
He got gazed.
Not Super Bowl champion Le'Veon Bell. You know who is a Super Bowl champion despite having played zero snaps in the last two Super Bowls? Two-time Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy.
He was hyping up Fournette and Jones. He was being a good teammate.
He was great. I think it's a truly impressive feat to win two Super Bowls back to back on two different teams and play not a single snap in the Super Bowl. Well done. That's how you do it. Awesome. Well, there you go. Before we go, I don't know if you guys listen or our dear listeners listen to the Around the NFL podcast, but I have been a devout listener of the show for almost the last decade. And honestly, it's the podcast that got me excited about podcasting and really is the inspiration in my mind behind this show. I just quickly wanted to say, sadly, this weekend, Chris Wessling of that show passed after a long battle with cancer. And I wanted to take a moment just to send love to his wife, Lakeisha, and his son, Link, and their families, and anyone else who knew him. I only interacted with him a couple times via Twitter, but listening to the show, he's become a core part, and he became a core part of my NFL fandom, and losing him hit a lot harder for me than I anticipated. He left an impact on me, something that I'm sure anyone who read, listened, or talked to him did. So I just wanted to take the moment to well wishes to anyone who knew him and to Chris Wessling. What, rest in peace.
Their family's got a GoFundMe to help pay for the cancer treatments too. I think so. It's doing well. I checked it this morning and it was like 67,000 out of 100,000. Fucking cancer. God damn it.
Absolutely blows. Yeah. And you can find that. Give. Yeah, you can find that at I'm sure the Around the NFL Twitter handle has that, or any of the guys, Dan Hanses, Greg Rosenthal, and Mark Sessler, I'm sure all have it tagged on their Twitter account. So with that, we're done for the week. Make sure you subscribe to the Fate Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and basketball shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark while you still have the chance before he deletes his Twitter account. Follow Nick.
Working on deleting all those old tweets right now, Pete.
And Nick at Ginger__Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week. Until then, peace.